clearly felt the sting anyway. In January, when Representative Steve King set his career on fire by questioning how terms like white nationalist and white supremacist had become offensive, GOP leaders quickly condemned his comments. Their action was remarkable, given that they had mostly ignored the Iowa congressman's extensive record of racist statements and dubious associations for more than a decade. Just last year, he endorsed a Canadian politician with neo-Nazi ties. The moral authority fell to Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina, the GOP's lone black member in the Senate. "Some in our party wonder why Republicans are constantly accused of racism," he wrote in the Washington Post. "It is because of our silence when things like this are said." So diversity is the winner, right? Not so fast. For all the talk about the Democratic rout, there was no clear message from the midterms. Yes, the new House is historically female and diverse, but in 8 white working-class House districts in Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Michigan, where Democrats flipped seats away from Republicans, the winners were all white. Haley Stevens, who worked in the Obama administration on rescuing the auto industry and finding jobs for laid-off workers, took Michigan's 11th from Republicans after a half a century. But she soon distanced herself from her progressive colleagues in February after she was asked about what one voter saw as the anti-Semitism of her pro-Palestinian fellow freshman classmates. Michigan's 11th and the other 7 flipped Midwestern districts are precisely the sort of places Democrats will want to claw back from Trump in 2020. But Democrats now must decide whether they should either write off the white identifiers who hearkened to Trump's racial messaging, or try to win some of them over, as Obama did. Those who think Democrats don't need them look to the rapidly changing populations of states like Arizona, Georgia, and Texas. Others see a basic math problem. As much as the country is changing, white working-class voters will still make up nearly half of the electorate in 2020. And they're concentrated in the Midwestern states, long considered key to Democratic success. And this has led to mostly hushed conversation among Democrats about race and who they should nominate from a crowded and diverse primary field. "I think it better be a white male," said Michael Avenatti, the fleeting White House hopeful and pugnacious lawyer for adult film actress Stormy Daniels, in an interview with Time last year. "And I don't say that because I want it to have to be a white male. I say that because of the realities of the situation. If the Democrats nominate anyone other than a white male at the top of the ticket, they're going to lose the election. I'd be willing to bet anything." Why? It's different when you have a white male making the arguments. They carry more weight, he said. Should they carry more weight? Absolutely not. But do they? Yes. Avenatti soon bowed out of the race after a domestic violence allegation. He denied it and was not charged by prosecutors. But Senator Bernie Sanders struck a similar chord after the midterms, saying that voters in Florida and Georgia grew uneasy with black Democratic candidates for governor amid the race-baiting attacks from their GOP opponents. "There are a lot of white folks out there who are not necessarily racist, who felt uncomfortable for the first time in their lives about whether or not they wanted to vote for an African American," he told the Daily Beast.